but I wasn't aware of the man Michelle had dubbed the Golden State Killer until she started writing about this nightmare, who was responsible for 50 sexual assaults and at least 10 murders in California during the 1970s and 80s. This was a decades-old cold case. Witnesses and victims had moved away or passed away or moved on. The case encompassed multiple jurisdictions in both Southern and Northern California and involved myriad crime files that lacked the benefits of DNA or lab analysis. There were very few writers who would take this on, fewer still who would do it well. Michelle's doggedness in pursuing this case was astounding. In a typical instance, she tracked down a pair of cufflinks that had been stolen from a Stockton crime scene in 1977 on the website of a vintage store in Oregon. But she didn't do just this. She could also tell you that, quote, boys' names beginning and end were relatively rare, appearing only once in the top 100 names of the 1930s and 40s, when the original owner of the cufflinks was likely born. Mind you, this isn't even a clue leading to the killer. It's a clue leading to the cufflinks that the killer stole. This dedication to particulars was typical. Writes Michelle, I once spent an afternoon tracking down every detail I could about a member of the 1972 Rio Americano High School water polo team because in the yearbook photo he appeared lean and to have big calves, a possible physical trait of the Golden State Killer. Many writers who have sweat and blood gathering this much research can get lost in the details. Statistics and information tend to elbow out humanity. The traits that make one a painstaking researcher are often at odds with the nuance of life. But I'll be gone in the dark while a beautiful work of reporting is equally a snapshot of the time, place, and person. Michelle brings to life the California subdivisions that were edging out orange groves, the glassy new developments that made victims the stars of their own horrific thrillers, the towns that lived in the shadow of mountains that came alive once a year with thousands of scuttling tarantulas searching for mates, and the people, good God, the people, hopeful ex-hippies, striving newlyweds, a mother and her teen daughter arguing over freedom and responsibility and swimsuits for what they didn't realize would be the last time. I was hooked from the beginning, and so was Michelle, it seems. Her multi-year hunt for the identity of the Golden State Killer took a harsh toll on her. As she says, there's a scream permanently lodged in my throat now. Michelle passed away in her sleep at age 46 before she could finish this remarkable book. You'll find case notes from her colleagues, but the identity of the Golden State Killer, the whodunit, remains unresolved. His identity matters not a whit to me. I want him captured. I don't care who he is. Looking at such a man's face is anticlimactic, attaching a name even more so. We know what he did. Any information beyond that will inevitably feel pedestrian, pale, somehow cliché. My mother was cruel. I hate women. I never had a family. And so on. I want to know more about true, complete people, not dirty scraps of humans. I want to know more about Michelle. As she detailed her search for this shadowy man, I found myself looking for clues to this writer I so admire. Who was the woman whom I trusted enough to follow into this nightmare? What was she like? What made her this way? What gave her this grace? One summer day, I found myself driving the 20 minutes from my Chicago home out to Oak Park to the alley where the girl was found, where Michelle, the writer, discovered her calling. I didn't realize until I was there why I was there. It was because I was in my own search, hunting this remarkable hunter of darkness. Gillian Flynn.
No butler, no second maid, no blood upon the stair. No eccentric aunt, no gardener, no family friend, smiling among the bric-a-brac and murder. Only a suburban house with the front door open, and a dog barking at a squirrel, and the cars passing. The corpse quite dead. The wife in Florida. Consider the clues. The potato masher in a vase. The torn photograph of a Wesleyan basketball team scattered with check stubs in the hall. The unsent fan letter to Shirley Temple. The Hoover button on the lapel of the deceased. The note, "To be killed this way is quite all right with me." Small wonder that the case remains unsolved.